Sometimes one has to get to the end of something and look backward to discover what it was that mattered most about that thing. For me, it was my college education. It was only really years after I realized what I had. A smaller thing, an ice cream cone. You know, you kind of gobble it down and get to the end of it, and then think back to what you just experienced, or can be a relationship. That's why we say hindsight is 20/20. Let's see better looking backwards when we can make meaning out of it. And conversely, the same is true looking forward. Let me say that again. It's the opposite looking forward. You can be in the middle of the moment, not quite sure what it is that will matter most when looking back. Or looking forward, that's even harder. What do we do next? Where do we go? How do we do this? There's no hindsight there yet. It's something that we do uniquely as humans and regularly, especially when we get to the endings and beginnings of things. You know, we're 6 weeks out from the end of the year, and we'll see all that stuff start to appear in magazines and news looking back at 2020 and what a year it's been, and forward to 2021. And we're standing on the last Sunday of the church year, the liturgical year, Feast of the Reign of Christ, Christ the King, ready to start telling the whole story again in a new way as Advent begins. It's never the same. It's like a spiral of storytelling. And when we get to this end of the year as we are now, it's always stories about the end of the world. So today, as we're finishing up the Gospel of Matthew, we'll start another Gospel next week, we have an end of the world story. And this is certainly the end of the world for Matthew. I hope you wince a little bit, or at least I'll say I wince a little when I hear the language of inclusion and exclusion put quite so sharply. It makes total sense as a hounded, persecuted sect of Christianity as everyone was chasing them down. But the church has been the persecutor for most of its history. So I'd like to actually chase down the Jesus thread in this, because it's always there and it's always consistent. Today, as other Sundays, Jesus is saying something about what God is doing right now, and says, don't miss it. You will miss it if you're looking the wrong direction. Not because it's hidden, but because it's often quite small and quite common and quite ordinary. And it usually depends on how you behave more than what you believe about how other people should behave. So, as Matthew sets up the story, it's the end of the world as we know it, and things are not fine. The mass of humanity is bewildered about how they got to where they got. Like, why are the choices of their lives leading to where they're leading? Blessing or cursing, reward or punishment. And they expect to be rewarded or punished based on their class and their associations and their privileges and their perquisites and their achievements. And instead, they get directed right back to the hidden small moments of their lives, the details that no one sees, life in the cracks. They say, when did we do these things or not do these things? We don't get it. And Jesus says, as you've done it to the least, so you've done it to me. So this story suddenly is not about the end of time, it's about right now. And it's not just about the little thing that no one sees, it's the little thing that actually is connected to everything. And he seems to be saying that the most important thing, the thing not to miss, while the wheels of history are grinding away and fate is falling, is, very simply, how we are neighbor to one another. How could it be so simple? And how could it be so challenging? Because it's not the neighbor friend, it's the neighbor on the other side of the street, the neighbor enemy. And being a good neighbor, frankly, it just doesn't fix the climate. It doesn't fix the broken political system. It doesn't end racism. It doesn't stop corporate greed. It's so small. And yet, I suspect this is the secret that Jesus knows and wants to make not a secret. That being a neighbor, being a good neighbor, is a little like prayer. But it doesn't change the world we think, the way we think it will. It changes the way we see the world. It changes us more than something out there. It changes something in here. And when we see the world different, and we see the world different collectively, then of course things start to change. It's like yeast in dough. How little it takes to change everything. So if you want to understand someone, walk a mile in their shoes, we say. Which is to say, you got to get close enough to the neighbor, to the enemy neighbor, the friend not quite so much of a friend, in order to see their humanity and to let them see yours. And we all know how this works, where when that happens, when we get close enough. I've had a couple of conversations this week. In fact, it was our neighbors, one of whom we discovered, you know, was not in the same political party as the other. And just that conversation started to open us up toward one another rather than back us off against one another. We start to see the beauty, the humanity, the divinity in the other. And it's kind of a miracle. We're wired for relationship. It's in our DNA. That is the program we run natively. And it gets corrupted to keep that image going. Because we run other programs on top of it. I'm not enough, I don't belong, which is too intolerable to take, so it gets flipped to you're not enough and you don't belong. And then we start that whole sheep and goats thing, you know, good ones, bad ones. Back in 2001, as the Gulf War started, our then president said convincingly, we were going to defeat the axis of evil. And it startled me a little, a lot. And I was also startled and quite proud that a number of Episcopal leaders immediately stood up very publicly and said, no, that is not how the axis of evil runs. The axis of evil runs through every human heart, as does the axis of good. And that is the case for everyone. That our root, our work is precisely to root out this othering instinct, to learn to purify our intention every day and see the whole, not just the part that is the good part we're a part of. As much as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. That's pretty clear. It doesn't get a whole lot clearer than that. Our work is exactly the opposite of separating things out into good and bad piles, into good people and bad people. Instead, Jesus seems to be saying, treat all the deplorables like me. Not Daniel me, Jesus me. This is Jesus' voice, like me, and guess what? You will start to discover that they are. And you'll start to discover that so are you. And of course, then you'll start to discover that both are part of the whole. Everything belongs. When Jesus says kingdom of God, that is what he means. When we pray, thy kingdom come, that is the most revolutionary statement we can make. It's reimagining the whole world from the bottom up, completely reimagining it. It's subversive. I've started to, once in a while, pick this up on a retreat. I was leading, it was somebody else brought it, just dropping the G out of kingdom and saying kingdom. It's almost the same. Nobody really notices. But listen to how that changes what we mean. Kingdom of God. It kind of says it all. What's not in the kingdom? The whole world, and certainly St. Paul's as a community, in the coming months and years, is going to at least be invited by reality to re-engage, reassess all of what matters most. What we can carry with us, what we can let go of, what we absolutely need as our core values, what we thought were core but discovered, well, no, that was just of the moment. How we do this together. And yes, we're going to feel a lot of strong pull to either try to hold on to what was, or be really unhappy with what is, or be really afraid about what's coming. And that's all okay. Again, everything belongs. Feel it. And to listen to Jesus and say, don't miss the moment. There is a real opportunity to be here now, to be right in what God is doing. And specifically, using the word from today, to go big in going small. Not to hunker down and back off and go small that way, but to just invest in those really concrete, small, seeable, feelable actions to one another, with the intention of seeing God present. And guess what? It'll happen. It is happening. It's a cup of cold water. Yesterday, in the parking lot, just right there, there were boxes, rows of boxes and bags that covered the entire parking lot. As Norwalk Mutual Aid was taking what they had collected to give away. And what really struck me were the names. There were names on the boxes and the size of the family, or at least how many boxes each family had needed. And it was just that connection to, oh, this is a person. This is a need. This is real. And this is happening now. That connected me just for a moment and reminded me that this is happening all over this parish. Folks are still tutoring virtually. We're still connecting. We're still calling. We're still reaching out. And that's a real call to just keep weaving that tighter and tighter. How do you end a pandemic? Wear your mask. Yes, we need a $1 billion vaccine, but the big is accomplished in the very, very small. What is my work to do today? What is our work to do today? I love the irony of Jesus in this reading. And this is kind of the Jesus that is above and beyond everything. Where Matthew is trying to tell a story about separating the good ones from the bad ones and cosmic kings. But this thread of Jesus still comes through. Jesus doesn't talk about kings, he talks about shepherds, like Ezekiel did. And he uses an image of counting the sheep out, which happens every day to a shepherd. They separate the sheep from the goats, not to throw the goats away, but to put them where they need to be in the pen because they have different needs as different species. So this is an image of inclusion. of gathering, of the sorting being part of the whole making. That's the work. I don't know what shape it's going to take in this community. How could I? How could any of us? But I know that as we follow Jesus in this kingdom way, in this seeing it all along, and finding our work, our small work in that, that as we meet the neighbor and discover our kinship, and discover that, yeah, sometimes we're goats, sometimes we're sheep, all of us. We are part of one pasture. God is the shepherd. And God is taking care of us, now and always.